So as we mentioned, in the era of social media, one's status is public and full of details shared with the immediate world. Way beyond simple marital status, whether you're in a relationship or not, there's also mood. There's happy, sad, likes, dislikes, schools, jobs. One's status is a little like an emotional barcode, identifying each one of us online. The status data in the online universe offers some opportunities offline, and Facebook has stepped in with a suggestion that could be revolutionary if it takes off. Facebook is encouraging people to advertise their organ donor status on Facebook pages. Jeff Jarvis joins us, professor of journalism at City University of New York, author of the book Public Parts. He joins us from New York. Jeff, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And our good friend Art Kaplan is also here. Art's professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, regularly appears on the program, and joining us from Philadelphia. Art, welcome back.
Hi.
So, Jeff Jarvis, what do you think the Facebook announcement here does that's different from some sort of suggestion in, say, an employee newsletter at a big corporation suggesting that everyone be an organ donor?
I think it uses our publicness to create some measure of social pressure to be an organ donor, which I don't think is a bad thing at all. I think it potentially could be a very good thing. But what interests me is that this is one more case where the internet and our social interactions push at our norms about how we behave on these things. And so it says that, you know, even though Facebook sets it up so that you can just make it public to your family or to your friends, I wonder whether there won't be some measure of social pressure to say, well, I'm one, why aren't you?
Well, you know, beyond social pressure, Art Kaplan, are we getting to the point where essentially we shake hands with someone and our status and our identity is related to these kinds of medical issues? It's not so much pressure to donate an organ or not, but there certainly is this issue of everyone's status should be known. Are you an organ donor or not? I don't care about why, but the status is public knowledge. Art, what do you think?
Well, there is some risk that, you know, it's going to be, hi, how are you? I'm Art Kaplan. I'm an organ donor. I'm a good person. You're John Hockenberry. You're not an organ donor. I guess you're not such a nice person as we open up a conversation or meet one another. There's some risk of that. Still in all, look, the way we get organs now is you go down to motor vehicles and you're sort of approached there, if you will, by someone who doesn't care very much which way you answer the question after waiting in line 2 hours. The only reason to be in motor vehicles, I think, is that you could die there because you wait so long. Maybe they could get your organs there as part of the organ procurement process. This is better. This is an improvement. It's in a way, the peer pressure part of it, you know, we can argue back and forth. I like it. I agree with Jeff. I don't think it's so bad. But trust me, motor vehicles versus Facebook, Facebook wins.
And Jeff, you know, does the peer pressure element eventually go away if people, and it seems to me this is the revolutionary point here, if people think that it's perfectly normal and, in fact, you know, part of our public persona to indicate whether we're organ donors or not? Does the peer pressure go away if that happens?
It depends on what people do with it, right? If you're not an organ donor, or let's say it's not as simple as checking off on the thing. Let's say it goes beyond that, and we see this all the time happen. We saw a great campaign recently for a well-beloved internet guy named Super Amit to get him a bone marrow transplant. And so the call goes out for people to do that, and well, what if you don't want to, or for whatever reason? Now, someone on my blog this morning when I wrote about this said that, well, you should be shunned. You should be, because this is like jumping into a lake, said Seth Godin, to save a drowning kid. And I think that's a legitimate argument. All I'm suggesting is that we're renegotiating our norms around technology here. And it's especially true around health matters. You know, I think that the main reason we don't talk about our health online or in any venue is because of stigma, and that's really quite medieval. And the more we did talk about health, the more open we were about health, the more chances we have to learn more and to do more good.
Two other big points here, Jeff Jarvis. One, is it possible that Facebook is thinking more in marketing terms than in philanthropical terms or social responsibility terms here, in the sense that people who disclose this kind of information are an opportunity? They are probably going to disclose other kinds of information which might be of high value to advertisers, to healthcare providers, that sort of thing.
I'm not so sure that there's an organ donor demographic And I wouldn't ascribe that cynical a marketing act to Facebook, even though Facebook's real business and Google's real business is to get us to generate signals about ourselves, who we are, where we are, what we like, what we're interested in. All those things are valuable indeed for marketing and advertising to target both advertising and content and services. So, yes, that's the underlying structure here. But I do believe Mark Zuckerberg. When I interviewed him for my book, he talked about wanting a more open world and thus a better world. And I do believe that he believes that.
And apparently, Art Kaplan, Zuckerberg came to this decision because of a personal experience with someone that was close to him. By teleporting that decision to Facebook, does he make it possible that, in fact, people will donate organs not because of these relatively rare public encounters with transplantation and will, in fact, do it as a matter of course? And that's the real revolution here?
Absolutely. And remember, too, John, we were talking about signing our driver's license or indicating on Facebook that we want to link to a registry. The key aspect of organ donation, as I've studied this over the years, is your family and friends need to know that you want to be an organ donor because often the card isn't found. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go with you to the hospital and so on. So having Facebook inform others in this kind of a way increases the chances that your wishes will come true because it's your family and friends who have to speak up and say, yeah, I think he was an organ donor on Facebook, or I think he signed his driver's license. So that is the crucial step. It's not just leading to more donors. It's probably leading to more donations.
But does it lead to a black market for organs online, Art?
Well, not this particular step. I don't think there's any danger that just because we're indicating I am one or I'm willing to be one when I die, we're going to create a market. Down the road, as Jeff said, if you start seeing someone say, I want to sell a kidney, I want to sell bone marrow, yeah, I could see Facebook being dragged into that kind of sort of inadvertent commerce, but not here.
Art Kaplan.
I don't think we'll see an eBay of organs yet. Don't worry.
All right. I wondered what your final thought would be. You don't want to see that, or you don't think we'll see that?
No, I don't think we'll see that. I think there is plenty of law and regulation, and this is really just about sharing something that's good for your fellow man and woman, and that's what Facebook is doing, and that's what it's good for.
Jeff Jarvis, professor of journalism at City University of New York, author of the book Public Parts, and Art Kaplan, professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.